The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 18, verses 9 to 11. It is page 219 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. Then Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Amen. Please allow me to speak about my personal matter before the sermon. Next week is the last week of November, so as announced, Reverend Chung-Han Cho will deliver the sermon. I will attend a congregation in Australia scheduled long before. I will be leaving this Wednesday to Sydney, Australia, have a seminar for pastors in Sydney, lead a congregational retreat of Sydney churches from Friday to Sunday, and return on next Friday. As I was reporting to you about my health on the second Sunday of October, I informed you that I will undergo radiation therapy. I had a meeting with Professor Park Yong-jae of Radiation Hematology Department of Korea University Medical Center on October 22nd and confirmed to receive radiation therapy for 2 months starting from December 2nd. He told me that during the 2 months of radiation therapy, it will be difficult to prepare and deliver sermon, although I can receive therapy staying home and do household chores. Also, the after effect of radiation therapy will last for a month after the therapy is complete. Therefore, for 3 months, from next week until the end of February, Reverend Chung-Han Cho will be delivering sermon. However, on the first worship service of 2014, the midnight service of January 1st, I will try to deliver the New Year's message by myself. Quite a number of fellow believers were worried that the hospital may be recommending excessive treatment by suggesting radiation therapy. However, I want to make it clear that it's not true. As explained to you, clinically, the prostate cancer cells removed from my body are those of late phase 3 and early phase 4, but did not spread to bones or limbs. Instead, prostate cancer cells larger than expected were spread in bladder, so part of prostate and the lower part of bladder had to be removed. However, cancer cells were left on the sectional surface of bladders, which means that cancer cells can still be remaining in my bladder. For this reason, I am classified as a high-risk patient with a relatively high risk of cancer recurrence, and I have received hormone therapy after the surgery. After the surgery, tumor markers from blood tests run every month recorded 0.000. However, during hormone therapy, there are cases where tumor markers record zero, although cancer cells still remain in patient's body. Therefore, nobody can confirm whether the tumor marker zero from blood test means that there is no cancer cell or cancer cells are dormant due to inhibition by hormone therapy. Therefore, the hospital suggests reducing possibility of cancer recurrence by completely removing cancer cells that may remain in my bladder through radiation therapy while my condition is good. In other words, in cases like me, where cancer cells are found from sectional surface of bladder, radiation therapy is not an excessive treatment, but a mandatory process to reduce recurrence rate. Generally, patients can choose from four different treatment options. First, Western medicine. Second, traditional Eastern medicine. Third, alternative medicine. And the last, healing by God. There are a surprising number of Christians who exclude treatments other than the treatment option they chose. For instance, they tend to trust everything else except Western medicine, distrust Western medicine or traditional Eastern medicine in order to support alternative medicine, or completely abandon all other treatments in order to receive the grace of God's healing. However, whether Western medicine or traditional Eastern medicine, progressive medicine is a grace of God's healing that the Lord provided. If medicine has not progressed, mankind will be living in the danger of losing their lives from minor disease or epidemic. If a Christian gets free from pain of flu through vaccine or medication, he is healed by the Lord through medication. Therefore, the four treatments that I mentioned have to always supplement each other. Those absolutely trusting alternative medicine are silent that Steve Jobs, legendary figure in the IT industry, passed away at a relatively young age of 56 from cancer, while completely trusting alternative medicine. I believe that every treatment from the world should be abandoned, whether it be Western medicine, Eastern traditional medicine, or alternative treatments, and all man-made medication should not be taken in order to receive the grace of God's healing, is also not a correct belief based on the Bible. When I received biopsy last April, I may have placed priority in other treatments if only one or two among 12 biopsy samples had been identified as cancer cells. However, among 12 samples, 11 were cancer cells, rating 9 and Claassen score, which identifies aggressiveness of cancer. The worst score is 10, so 9 means serious state. Because the best treatment option for a high-risk cancer patient like me was removal of cancer cells through a surgery, I chose Western medicine without hesitation. In the same line, I decided to rely on radiation therapy since cancer cells were found from sectional surface of bladder. However, After being diagnosed with cancer, I am following meal plans of alternative medicine. Through this process, I believe that God's will be fully accomplished whether God decides to have me here or calls me to the kingdom of God by his need. Therefore, I am thankful to God who provided me with the environment to receive radiation therapy and decided to trust the therapy. Therefore, please do not worry because I will be receiving radiation therapy and hope that you can anxiously anticipate for the works of God in faith. Also, I ask for your understanding that I cannot deliver sermon for a long time due to my health. In Corinth, that Paul set as a site to deliver gospel, the Jews in a synagogue opposed and abused Paul. But Paul did not try to fight back at them. Titus Justus, who is Roman, invited Paul, who had been opposed and abused at the Jewish synagogue, and Paul used the house of Titus Justus, which is at the next door of synagogue, as their new worship place. As a result, the house of Titus Justus became the first church for the Lord in Corinth. Because the house of Titus Justus became a church, Crispus, a ruler of another synagogue, freely visited the place and listened to the sermon, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many Gentiles in Corinth who listened to the gospel preached by Paul became baptized believers every day. This was possible because Paul became a branch of the Lord who is eternal and true river of life, and such river flew into this world. Verse 9 then testifies what happened afterwards. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. One night the Lord appeared to Paul in a vision and commanded. The Lord's command was in three phrases. According to the original text in Greek, the order is, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking and do not be silent. Keep on speaking means continue to deliver gospel. It is not easy to understand such command of the Lord. The reason that the Lord commanded Paul not to be afraid is because he was afraid. Keep on delivering gospel because he wanted to stop delivering gospel, and do not be silent because he was silent. What was happening in Corinth? Through Paul, who was delivering the gospel at the house of Titus Justus, synagogue ruler of Crispus, and his entire household accepted the Lord, and many Gentiles of Corinth continued to believe and receive baptism. Then, wouldn't it be natural for Paul to be excited and preach the gospel in a more loud voice, then become afraid? But then why did the Lord command Paul not to be afraid, keep on speaking, and not be silent? Is it because the Lord had mistaken Paul and gave him wrong commands? If you carefully look into the circumstances surrounding Paul, we can learn the reason why the Lord preached to Paul as such. Jews at a synagogue that Paul delivered the gospel first in Corinth severely opposed and abused Paul as he testified that Jesus is Christ. If Paul, who had been abused by the Jews, left Corinth or stayed in Corinth, but the result was not significant, nothing would have happened. However, Paul, who had been abused by the Jews, continued to deliver the gospel at the house of Roman Titus Justus, as suggested by him, like a worship place, which was right next to the synagogue. And then, a ruler of another synagogue and a Jew, Crispus, believed the Lord with his entire household, and the Gentiles believing and receiving baptism increased every day. Then, would Jews who opposed and abused Paul remain silent while witnessing Paul's work right next door? Just like the Jews in Pisidian Antioch, Thessalonica, or Berea that Paul had dealt with, wouldn't the Jews in Corinth also form a mob, opposed and abused him more violently, and try to drive him out from Corinth? According to verse 12, when the Jews found out that their way did not work, they tried to take Paul to the court in Corinth. Now, let each of us put ourselves in the shoes of Paul in Corinth 2,000 years ago. On daytime, I deliver gospel at the house of Titus Justus as a worship place. Every day, more Gentiles come, believing the gospel I deliver, accept the Lord, and receive baptism. When I look at such Gentiles, I gain strength. However, proportionally, the Jews are more severely opposing and abusing me, trying to drive him out by any means. Since I am being harassed by the same Jews every day, I am reaching to my limits. When it gets dark and I return to my place, Aquila's house, all my energy is exhausted and my heart fell from inside. When I think of faces of mean Jewish people who opposed me today, unknown fear comes. I think that it may be better to stop delivering gospel in Corinth and remain silent until I leave Corinth. This was the circumstances of Paul at that night, 2,000 years ago. At that night, the Lord appeared before Paul personally and commanded, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent." It was not within the Lord's will for Paul to leave Corinth at that moment. verse 11. So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. The Lord's will was Paul to deliver gospel for a year and a half in Corinth. So at that night, the Lord appeared before Paul, who was being afraid for unknown reason and thinking about stop delivering gospel in Corinth, and commanded him, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent." However, that was not the only thing that the Lord told Paul. If the Lord only commanded him, Paul may have thought about deviating from the Lord's will in some other places and on some other nights. The Lord continued his word to Paul as follows in verse 10. "For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." I've explained that subjects are often omitted in Greek because the ending of a verb changes by sex and number of subjects. However, the Lord told Paul using the first person subject. It is to emphasize he himself is doing the act. And the sentence starts with the conjunction identifying the cause, diophti. Therefore, the Lord told Paul as follows, "Paul, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, because your Christ, I am with you." If the Lord, God who broke dead and eternally resurrected, is with us, what is to fear in this world? And what is the hurdle that we cannot overcome? Wouldn't Paul, who heard such words of the Lord, be thankful to God's grace of coming to Paul and confirming that he is with Paul, and moved by tears? The reason that great apostle Paul was possessed by fear that night is because he only saw painful problems around him. So the Lord appeared before Paul and confirmed that I am with you, so that Paul can remain as the witness of gospel in Corinth until the day the Lord planned. The Lord explained that because I have many people in this city, it is because there are many people of Lord that have to be saved through the instrument Paul. The Lord's word that, "For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you," does not mean that the Jews will never oppose or abuse him. It means that even if the Jews continue to abuse him, the Lord will hold Paul fast so that he does not break. An unimaginable will of the Lord will be accomplished through this process. We will look into it next time. But Paul successfully completed his work in Corinth for a year and a half that the Lord had planned for, despite continuous opposition and abuse of the Jews, with the help of the Lord who is with them. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul later testified in his letter to believers in Corinth as follows. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not abandoned. This is a true confession of Paul, who confirmed again that God is with him in any circumstances on that night. After late April, when I was diagnosed as a cancer patient, in mid-May, a fellow believer sent me a cassette tape. It was a sermon tape. It was not a sermon tape of a leader of prayer house or charismatic preacher with the gift of healing. It was a sermon tape of mine that I preached on the fourth week of September 2006 during the worship service with the title of Completely Healed on Acts chapter 5. Verses 12 to 16. The reason that the fellow believer sent me the tape is because he received grace through that sermon and sent that tape to many patients around him, and they gained strength through such sermon. He wanted me, who is also a cancer patient, to stand firm with that sermon. In other words, he wanted me to listen to the sermon not as my sermon, but as a message that the Lord gave me. And I was listening to the sermon with the conclusion that we should be thankful to the Lord, who saves us eternally, whether we recover from illness or not. I could not hold tears flowing from my eyes. My tears were not those of sorrow from the cancer diagnosis. It was not tears of fear about unknown future that I do not know when I will die. It was tears of thankfulness of the grace that the Lord is with me, such a small person. Through that sermon, the Lord told me, Jaechul, I am with you. I, who saved you from a deep pit before, am still with you. There is a saying that the longest distance to travel is not to a geographically far away place, but from head to heart. It means that it takes a long time to accept by heart of what we have understood through our head. We, believing the Lord, understand by our head that the Lord is with us. But in life, aren't we living like helpless, reed wavering by wind, forgetting that the Lord is with us. However, the Lord has used cancer in my body as a chisel in order to deeply inscribe in my heart that He is always with me. Since the Lord, who broke dead and resurrected eternally, is with me, what is out there to fear about and put me in despair? The Lord will accomplish His will through my life, even if cancer recurs or a more serious event happens under any circumstances. Today is Thanksgiving week. To be thankful about the grace of the Lord that He provided to us. Can there be a bigger grace than that the Lord who saved us through His blood on the cross is always with us? In what storm of life are you feeling difficult? From what pain do you suffer? But let us be thankful that the Lord is always with us. Let us be grateful that, using such a storm of life and pain as a chisel, the Lord is inscribing in our heart that He is always with us. Whether we are healthy or sick, rich or poor, smooth in life or lost in storm, let us take after Paul in Corinth 2,000 years ago, that we stay in a place where we should stay, and go to a place we should go courageously by faith, relying on the Lord who is with us. And then, like Paul, we can reap the fruit of seeds that we sow here in this land eternally and continuously. It is because the Lord, who is always with us, is the resurrected Christ who broke dead and saves us eternally, even at the moment our breathing stops at our nose. Let us pray. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the death, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Can a mother forget a baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Thank you for, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, letting us realize again that the greatest to be thankful about is that the Lord is always with us. Help us be grateful that the Lord, Holy God, is always with us even if we suffer from storms of life. Help us be grateful that the Lord Christ is always with us even when we are sick. Help us be thankful that the Lord who broke dead and resurrected eternally is with us even when our breathing stops at our nose. Help us that the understanding that the Lord is always with us is in our head, can be engraved deeply in our heart. Therefore, through our life, thankful under any circumstances, let mysterious, unimaginable will of the Lord be accomplished in this era and history. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.